Some people call this put-off-itis. That's what they'll call it. They made a word out of that, putting things off, put-off-itis. It's the expression putting things off or put-off-itis. It's simply putting things to the side. That's what it means. The idea of put-off-itis, as it's used sometimes, is thought of as a disease when you put things. Sometimes people do because they just can't get around to doing things. And it could be that it's a disease, but most of the time it's not. It's just that we're putting things off because we don't want to do them at that particular time. That's what it is. But it's common among individuals, particularly can be common among Christians, who put things off when they ought to be doing other things. It's what we call procrastination sometimes, to put things off. And all of us, I suppose, suffer it from certain times. I don't like to take the trash out. Marty will say, take the trash out. Okay, I will. And an hour or two later, take the trash out. Have you taken it out? Well, I will, you know. That's just not one of my things that I like to take. I never did like to do it. I had to do it when I was a boy at home, and sometimes Mother would put all the scraps in there and banana peels and things. It didn't smell very good, and I guess I got to where I didn't want to be around that. Might be the case. But eventually we have to do what we put off, don't we? We eventually have to do that. But we need to be aware of the symptoms of putting things off as children of God, because the terrible thing is not because you might put off taking the trash or sweeping the floor or something of that nature. While that might not be a good thing to do, it's not going to have anything to do with your soul. It's not going to affect your soul salvation. But in the realm of being service of the Lord, if we put things off, oftentimes it can be disastrous in the effect of it. For instance, a person who knows he ought to obey the gospel, he or she, they've been taught the right things, they know they should, they've thought about it, and they keep putting it off. Sometimes by putting it off, they get to the point it's not as important to them as it used to be. And we can all relate to that, I suppose, in certain things in life, things that we thought were important and we continued to put them off and didn't do them, and eventually they weren't as important as we thought they were. Well, that can happen in the spiritual realm. It certainly can. The reason sometimes that we put things off, or what I call the symptoms of putting things off, first of all is the concern that we have for important matters, a poor concern. If we don't have the right kind of concern for important matters, it could very well be that we don't think of those things in the thought that they need to be done, and we don't think it's that important. There are a lot of admonitions in the New Testament concerning this proclivity. And it is the proclivity that we put emphasis on the things that are important. But if we don't, if we have a poor concern for important things, we're not likely to do them. Might not do them for a long period of time if we don't do that. When James was writing to a group of people that were Christians, he said, practice pure religion. He said, pure religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Well, if we don't think it's important to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, if we have poor concern for that particular thing, we're not going to do that. So he's telling these people to whom he's writing, James is writing to a group of Christians, he said, you need to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Not only that, you need to practice pure religion, and the only way you can is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Again, he's speaking to the Colossians, in Colossians the 3rd chapter and verse 1. He said, if then you are risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So if we don't have a concern for the things of Christ, if we have a poor concern for those kind of things, we're not likely to seek the things that are above. Oh, I'm going to worship sometime. I'm going to sing sometime. I'm going to give sometime. I'm going to do this or that or something else. But we put it off, and eventually it doesn't get done. The person who puts off serving the Lord because he doesn't think it's so concerning to him that he served the Lord now, because maybe he's young or maybe he's got other things to do, or he does, and he puts it off to the point that maybe something happens to him and he didn't have an opportunity to serve the Lord. So we don't want to put off something that we do. We don't want to look at things as if we're unconcerned about those things. Remember what Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 6? He said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we don't want to be carnally minded. We don't want to be wrapped up in the things of this life that we have a poor concern for the important things of spiritual life. We don't want to do the things of this world. In fact, Jesus said, and we use this passage in our class this morning, Jesus said, if a man should gain the whole world and lose his life or soul, what profit is there in that? What would a man give in exchange for his life or for his soul? What he's saying here, a man would like to go back and be able to do this, but it might be impossible for him to do that because he didn't have concern for important things at the time, and now he's lost any opportunity to do that. How many of us in life, physical life, have had an opportunity to do certain things, and we put it off? We thought we should have. We intended to. We never did, and we lost the opportunity. Well, I suspect it's happened to all of us in one way or another, that we've had opportunities to do things, and we look back and say, I should have done it when I had a chance. I should have done it when I had the time. Well, the reason we didn't is because we had really a poor concern for how important it was to do at that particular time. But there's another symptom that we sometimes face when we put things off, and that is the symptom of slow attention to the opportunities, and that's what I was talking about just a moment ago. When we have a slow attention to the opportunities we have to do things, I'm going to order it today, and you get busy doing something else, and you don't order it, and when you do order it, it's sold out. The opportunity you had to do it, maybe you really needed something, and you could have, and you looked at it, and you said, well, I'll just do it tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, it's not there any longer, so you were slow to use the opportunity you had to do something. And maybe that's not the most terrible thing in life, because you may have an opportunity again in life to do the same thing or buy the same thing. Maybe they'll put it on sale again. You know, I get tickled at the sales that go on by some of the stores. They're always having a sale of some kind. This is the final sale. I don't know how many times some of them have a final sale, but they have a final sale. But eventually, they do sell out. Eventually, it's gone. And when you had the opportunity, you no longer have that opportunity again. Opportunities don't hold their value very long. Opportunities go away. In James 4 and verse 17, James said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is wrong. Well, of course it's wrong. We look at that passage and say, well, it's a sin. We recognize that. But it's wrong because he knew to do good. What's wrong about it is he put it off. He could have done it, but he's got that malady called put-off-itis. And he puts it off, and he doesn't do what he could have done. So he misses the opportunity that he had. And he's slow in paying attention to the opportunity that he has. And that's one of the symptoms of putting things off. We need to be careful about that. One of the biggest excuses for losing opportunities is the expression, quote, I intended to, unquote. And how many times have we said that? Well, that's especially important when we talk about spiritual things. I intended to. I visited with a person on his deathbed one time who was telling me, James, if the Lord would let me live a little longer, I'll be baptized. And the thing he told me was, I fully intended to do that. But he died before he could. Now, I'm going to let the Lord take care of judging him. I'm not judging him. What I'm saying is, he was scared to death because he had had an opportunity to do that, and he wasn't doing it. He was on his deathbed, and he wanted the Lord to give him a few more hours of life so he could be baptized. Well, he had the opportunity to do that for a long period of time. He had attended services, everything since I'd preached there, never missed a time, had all those opportunities and let them pass by. How many times have we had opportunities to do things, but we've let them pass by because we're slow to do them? We're slow to take advantage of those things. Well, I'll tell you another thing that causes put-off-itis. It's what we call selfishness sometimes. Selfishness. Which is like procrastination. It's based on a selfish charge regarding the use of our time. We're going to use our time for this. We're selfish with our time sometimes. I know I ought to read the Bible. How many times have you heard people like that? I know I should read the passages. I know I should get ready for Bible class. I know I should read my lesson. And I fully intend to sometimes. But I'm so busy doing this. Sometimes that happens in the marriage realm. A husband gets so busy making a living, making dollars, that he forgets to spend time with his children and with his wife. Or sometimes the wife, because she has to work out of the home, she forgets some of the things she needs to be doing at home, but she doesn't take enough time with her children. And the children basically are raised by themselves. And that's a terrible thing to happen. when the young children don't have the parents who are more interested in them than they are the other things that they might do. And I'm not saying we don't have to work, folks. And I know a husband has to work to support his family. Don't misunderstand. But somewhere or another, he's going to have to take some of that time and spend it with his family. And how many times sometimes do husbands, when they come home, they've been gone all day long, and they come home, and here's the wife, and here's the children, and they sit down right in front of the television and never speak to their children. Never spend time with them. Their time is spent at work, and now their time is spent on sports or something else, and they don't have time for their family. And the child is raised not having the kind of father that he ought to have. Or a mother, if you turn it around with her work. That kind of thing. The selfishness of people who procrastinate with regard to their time because it's important. Well, I have to work. I've heard that. I have to work. I know people that take a job, and the job opens up in this way, that they could work on the Lord's Day, and they have to work, and they've got to pay their bills and all that, and they never have time to serve the Lord. Never have time. Never take the time. They don't even tell the boss, look, I need to be off on the Lord's Day. I need to be off at least once on the Lord's Day. I need to spend a little time serving the Lord and remembering the Lord. And they don't do that. They work all the time, all day long, every Sunday, all day, 7 days a week. And never take time to serve the Lord. Well, that person just doesn't have time to do what needs to be done. At least he's not able to do it right now. He intends to. Someday I won't have to work like this. This is the excuse sometimes. Someday I won't have to work like this, and someday I'm going to serve the Lord. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Someday may not come. What was it James said? He says to the people who said, we're going to go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain. He said, you don't even know what's going to happen on tomorrow. He said, you're like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Folks, I'm not saying we don't have to spend time at work. I'm not saying we don't have to spend time with our children some time in doing the things physically that they do. What I'm saying is we use that as an excuse if we're not careful to not serve the Lord. And this is not an indictment of any of you. This is an indictment of people who think like that. What I'm saying is we put off serving the Lord sometimes because we think we'll have time some other time. And some other time we'll do what needs to be done. But we can't do it right now. And I've heard that excuse, I don't know how many times when I talk to people, why aren't you attending? What caused you to miss? Well, I had to do this. I had to do this. I had to get the something out of the ditch. Jesus talked about that, people that would do that. They always thought they had to be working out there and do something else, and it took away the time that they had to serve the Lord. Do you know anyone who doesn't intend to get right with God eventually? Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody that will tell you right up front, I hope I go to hell and I hope I don't go to heaven? Do you know people that say, though, but I will do this someday. I'll come someday. I'll straighten out my life. I was talking to a young lady just the other day at Walmart. Marty and I, she saw us across the wall and came across and to us and said something to us. And she's attended here a few times. And she said, you know I need to get back in worshiping God. And I said, well, why don't you do it? Why don't you just do it? Well, I know I need to. Haven't seen her since. Haven't seen her since. That's the idea. I know I need to. But my time, I'm doing this. I'm going to college. I'm doing these other things. I've got all these things. I know I need to get back and worship God. Well, if you know that, do it. Do what you know you need to do. That poor young lady, she's not doing those kind of things. And eventually, it may get to the point that she doesn't think that she needs to anymore. She doesn't even say, I know I need to anymore. Because she's so wrapped up in life. And folks, there's not anything wrong with enjoying life and enjoying sports and all those kind of things. Let's don't forget God when we do that. Let's don't forget that we have a soul. The most precious possession you have, folks, is your soul. Someday you won't be able to play the sports. Someday you won't be able to cast the rod and the lure out there. Someday you won't be able to do the things that you may be able to do now. And that someday may be that you're not able to do anything. It may be that you won't have your faculties about you anymore and you don't have the opportunity now to serve the Lord because you've spent all your time doing something else. James said, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. Well, what is it that we should do? Serving the Lord. That's what we need to do. That's not an indictment of anybody. I'm just encouraging each one of us to think about our soul and the thinking we have before the Lord and not put off what we can do today. Today is the day of salvation, the apostle said. Now is the acceptable time. Let's not use our time for other kinds of things. Let's use our time in the right way. Let's always do that. Because we don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. What if there is no tomorrow? What then? What if after they made all these plans about what they were going to do, tomorrow never did come? That's what they thought would happen. Tomorrow never did come, and they were not able to do the things that they thought they could do, and they'd set aside all this time to do this, and then something happens in life. Maybe something happens to their body. Maybe something happens because of a relative, or something happens to them, and they're not able to do that. What then, if there's no tomorrow? What then? Well, how do we keep from letting those things keep us from serving the Lord like we should? Well, we need to develop remedies for those things. And there are remedies that we can have. We can develop some things. Our remedies for putting things off, the first one is do what we can do today. That's right. Just do what we can do today. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to do it today. Marty says, James, take the trash out. Okay, I'm going to do it right now. Because if I don't do it right now, I'll find time to do other things and it may not get done. And you don't want your wife not liking you for not doing something. You don't want that. You want her to smile at you and say, I'm glad you did that. But that's not as important as you want the Lord to smile at you and say, you were faithful till you died, and I'm going to give you a crown of life. And that's what's said in Revelation 2 and verse 10. You were faithful. You kept your word. The word faithful means trustworthy. It means you made a commitment to me, and you committed your soul and well-doing to me. You're going to do the things that are right. You're going to do what's well. That's what Peter said. We ought to commit our soul and well-doing to a faithful Creator. And we're going to keep our word. We're going to be faithful, Lord. We're going to be trustworthy. He can trust us to do that. We said we'd serve Him, and we're going to. So what's a remedy for put off idols? Well, the first one is develop the habit of beginning today. Do what you can do today. And make it a habit. It becomes what you do. Have you ever told somebody when they ask you, well, why do you go to church tonight? That's just me. That's my life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Someone says, why do you live and follow Him? Well, that's my life. The life that I now live, I live in faith. That's the faith I have. I walk by faith and not by sight. So what do? I live for Christ. That's what Paul said. That's what we can do too. And if we're going to keep from putting things off, we decide we're going to live for Christ. That's what we're going to do. We're going to exhort other individuals too. You know, that's what Paul said in Hebrews 3 in verse 13. He said, exhort one another daily while it is called today. Exhort people while it's called today. Encourage people while it's called today. People do things as we have an opportunity. We ought to encourage them if we can. If we know about it, sometimes we're a little slack and encouraging people when we should. We've known about it. We intend to maybe send them a card. We intend to tell them how good it is. But we're just so busy doing other things, we don't get around to doing it. We need to encourage our song leaders and those that take care of the building and those that mow the grass outside. We need to encourage them because we wouldn't be able to function if all these people weren't doing what they're supposed to do. What would happen to say, well, I'm going to clean the building. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to clean the building, and the first week comes, well, I intend to. And we come to the building, and after the fourth week, it's not being cleaned, and it's dirty, and you try to sit down, and there's something on the seat, and you talk to the person that signed up and say, well, I intended to. Well, how much good is the intention, folks, if it's not followed through? We understand that. So the point is, we do what we can do today. This is the day I have. Let me serve the Lord today. But to do that, folks, you have to put that time aside to serve the Lord. It's like when we give of our means. We give as we prosper. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, as a man prospers, he so gives. And he also said that in the 2 Corinthians letter in about chapter 8 and 9, that people give as they prosper. That simply means there's something they put aside. One translation in 1 Corinthians 16 says what you put aside. So there's something you do when you make money. You put something aside. This part belongs to the Lord. I know some people, I'm not suggesting you have to do that, but I know some people, when they first get their paycheck, they put aside right then what they're going to give to the Lord. So there won't be any way that they could spend it sometime else. I'm not saying you have to do that. You may be able to do it without having to do that. But the point that I'm making is that we have to begin today, while it's called today. We best be about doing what we can while we can, because the day will come when no man can work. We work the works of God while it's day, because the day comes when no man can work. That's what Jesus said. We do it today. We work the works of God today. That's what we do. Well, another way that we can keep from procrastinating, we can keep from putting things behind, is we can quit listening to what the devil has to say. Now, before you get angry with me, I'm not suggesting that you sit down and say, "Devil, talk to me." I don't think we do that. But what we do a lot of times is we let the devil put temptations in our way. And if we're not careful, we give in to those temptations. Even Jesus was tempted. He was tested or tempted in every point like us we are, yet he was without sin. He didn't give in to them. So the fact is, he didn't listen to the devil. "Get thee hence, Satan," Jesus said. We can resist the devil and he'll flee from us. That's what James said. We can do that. The devil is one who foments the idea of putting things off. That's what he does. He doesn't really care how strongly we believe about things. He really doesn't care about that. Or how much we love the Lord, or how firmly we're attached to the Word of the Lord. If he can just get us to put off doing anything about those things, about that belief, he's won the battle. That's all he cares about. "Well, just wait, James. I know you believe in God, and that's well and good, but just don't do it today. I know that you say you love the Lord, but just put it off a little while. You can show you love the Lord tomorrow. I know you say that you love your wife, but you can do that. You can tell her that later." I think I've told you the story about the fellow that came to me right before we had the funeral. I was serving at the funeral. And I was going to do the speaking at the funeral. And he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "James, I want you to tell her how much I loved her." Well, you know why he asked that? Because he never did tell her himself. Now, she's gone. She's gone. He could have told her while she was alive. He intended to. He said he loved her, but he never did show that in any of the things. There was no affection in the things that he did. Now he wants the affection, but she's gone. He wants to show her those things. He wants to say those things to her. And I don't know whether the person, when they pass from this scene, who's a child of God, would see what that person's doing or not. But I know sometimes what they do is they own the casket. They buy roses, and they buy dozens and dozens of roses and fill the whole casket's top with roses. Well, I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with that. That's what this fellow did, because he wanted to prove to her he loved her. Well, I don't know whether she heard that or not. Do you? But she could have heard it while she was alive. So we don't need to listen to the devil. We need to accomplish what we can. Don't listen to the devil. Eve listened to the devil. She was tricked by the devil. He told her she could be like God. She could be a god. That's what he told her. She listened and she ate of that which God told her not to. And don't you know, folks, when she started having children in travail and pain, don't you know that she thought that at the time it went through her mind, you know, if I hadn't listened to the devil, this wouldn't be happening. You know the same thing with Adam when he had to till the ground by the sweat of his brow. Don't you know that maybe while he was there hoeing the weeds out of the garden or whatever it was, don't you know that maybe it crossed his mind, you know, I wouldn't have to do this if I'd listened to God. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the devil. All the devil's interested is getting you to follow him. He doesn't care whether you claim to love God or whether you read the Word of God if you don't do what it says. If he can stop you from doing what it says, that's what he's interested in. So what do we do? What are we going to do about all that? We have to keep our eyes on the goal. What is the goal? Well, But Paul said, I press on unto the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I forget the things that are behind, and I press forward to the things that are before. What's the goal? I want to go to heaven when I die. So I'm not going to put anything off that would deter me from being able to do that. That's my goal. It's like when we went to school and we had a goal. Maybe we decided, I want to be a police officer, or I want to be a professional basketball player, or I want to be somebody that flies airplanes, or I want to be a great homemaker and have two or three children. I want to have all that's our goal, and I'm going to do everything I can to accomplish that task or that goal. What can we do from putting things off spiritually? I want to go to heaven when I die. What was it Paul said? I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. That's what we do. We finish the task. We do what this is saying on the screen. We keep our eyes on the goal. That's what we do. The goal is I want to go to heaven when I die. I'm not going to stop and gaze around, but I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. And isn't that what the Hebrew writer said? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's what we need to do. That's what we can do. Sometimes we're discouraged because of things that happen in life. Somebody says something to us. Maybe things were hard on the job or whatever it is. And it causes us to lose sight of the goal. Maybe we ought to memorize the song, "This world is not our home, we're just passing through." Because it's not. And folks, I realize how difficult it can be as a preacher. I've been discouraged lots of times. I have such a good wife, she starts talking to me again about things. And then I get my mind back on spiritual things and think about this life is just temporary. And while I may be discouraged about things in this life and brethren who don't live like they ought to and don't come like they ought to and all that kind of thing, I can make sure that I'm what I ought to be. That's what you can do. You can live right. You can go to heaven when you die. It's like that good friend of mine, when he winds up a sermon, he says, "I'm going to heaven whether you go or not." He doesn't mean anything ugly by that. But what he means is, I'm going to do it. You may decide you don't want to go. You may decide that this world is really my home, even though I'm just passing through. Paul said, I press toward the mark. I press. That means I spend some energy in regard to it. I'm going to spend my time. We were talking about that a while ago. The time. Sometimes the time is in something else. Let's put the time in serving to God. Let's put the time in going to heaven when we die. Pressing is hard. It is hard. But the goal is worth it, isn't it? As another friend of mine said, if you miss heaven, you've just missed all there is. And that's right. It's worth pressing. It's worth the hard. This was really hard, but I got it done. Those of you who remember when you were in college and some of the courses were really hard that you had to take, they're really hard, but you took them because the end result is good. You do the studies in high school or junior high or wherever you are, you do all those things. When you're on the job, you may take some courses so you can do better on the job, and it may be hard, and it takes time, and it takes energy, but it's worth it because there's a goal out there. There's something you're trying to do. And that's the goal. The goal. Most of the people in here, we like football or basketball or some kind of sport. Most of us do. And the team that we have, they press hard sometimes, and they don't make the goal, do they? Sometimes they get beat. And as hard as they try, sometimes they get... And all through their life as playing that particular sport, they never quite reach the goal. Even though they pressed hard and did everything they knew to do, some way or another they didn't. There was a team a little bit better than they were. Or maybe just a call went against them at one time or another. Something happened. Somebody made a basket at the last second and beat them. Or somebody threw a touchdown pass in the last few seconds and beat them. And therefore, they didn't reach their goal. And that can happen in life, folks. We're not assured in life, no matter how hard we try, that we'll reach life's goals. Well, if I had $1 million, I'd do this, and you may never get it. But we are assured if we're faithful, if we die, we'll receive the crown of life. And that's the goal. So what do? We keep our eyes on the goal, because this is one game we can win. We can win this game. We can put all our energy into serving the Lord, and someday He'll reach His hand out to us and say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And I'll tell you what will help with this, keep us from putting things off, is to stay around those who are doing something. They're doing something. They're serving the Lord. Be around those who want to go to heaven. Be around those who are doing whatever they can to get there. Be around them and let them be the ones who encourage you to do that. And there's nothing worse than being around people who are pessimistic all the time and always negative about things. And eventually they'll work on you, folks. They'll work on you. And you may give in to that. So don't make your friends those kind of people. Make your friends those individuals who are doing something for the Lord. Make them your closest companions. That's why Paul told the Romans, in honor, prefer one another. That's who you need to prefer. Those individuals who are trying to go to heaven when they die, they're going to help you get there. They're going to help you with your goal. Mothers, do you remember your children coming in from school sometime with their head kind of down, got all this homework? "I don't know how to do all this. I can't do this." What do you do? "Well, you're right, you can't do it." Is that what you do? No, you don't do that. You encourage them, don't you? You sit down with them and say, "Yes, you can, and I'll help you do this." We ought to be so thankful we had good mothers when we were growing up. Good mothers help the child, don't they? Good fathers do that. They bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Good mothers are those that are great examples to us. And Paul used that example when he talked about the grandmother and the mother of Timothy. He said, "I know the faith that is in you first dwelt in them." They encouraged him to be faithful. That's what they did. They were with him all the time. They did something. And we can do something in our service to the Lord. And that's the remedy for put-off-itis. Or that's the remedy for procrastination or putting things off. So let's get ourselves around people who are doing something. Let's stay around that kind of people. Let's get away from those who always tell us we can't. Reminds me of those steam engines at one time. Trains. You remember that little story, the train? All of them said, "We can't, we can't, we can't," and they couldn't. What if that little train? You remember the story? Can you picture in your mind these big old engines were out there and they were saying, "I can't"? There was this little bitty one out there. And they were trying to tell him he couldn't. And how could a little engine do what the big engines couldn't do? He said, "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can." And he went, think, 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 puff, 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 and right over the top. What did Paul say? "I can do all things in Him that" what? "Strengthens me." Now, I know he wasn't talking about that little engine, but he was talking about the strength you get from the Lord. The Lord encourages us all the time. "Cast your anxiety upon the Lord because" He what? "He cares for you," Peter said. He's the one who encourages us all the time. "You be faithful, James. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. Things are hard sometimes. I know people are castigating against you. I know some people are, even some of your own brethren might be telling you, you can't do that. But yes, you can. You be faithful. And I'll tell you what, James, I'll give you the crown of life." Get around somebody that wants to go to heaven when they die. Get around those kind of people. They want to go to heaven when they die. Because you want to go to heaven too. And they'll encourage you that way. That's what they'll do. They'll encourage you to do the things of the Lord just by what they do. They may talk to you from time to time, but just by what they do, because they're faithful. We know who's faithful. We know how much we miss them in services when they're not here because they're sick or something. Aren't we glad to see them back when they get their health back? Aren't we glad? Don't you just brighten up a little bit when one of them comes in, even with a new car? Doesn't it brighten you up just a little bit? We have to get our heart right with God too. And that's what this song is talking about. We have to get our heart right with God. You know, we can all obey the gospel. We can be faithful in the gospel. We can all be baptized for remission of our sins. Some of us have. We can all do that. We can all come to the Lord and say, I want to give you my heart, Lord, and I'm going to do it by humble obedience. We can all do what those people did on the day of Pentecost. We can repent and be baptized for the remission of our sin. We can gladly receive the word and be baptized. And we can always, all of us can be given the opportunity to be saved. Like Luke records of those people, they gladly received his word. And they were baptized and the Lord added them to the saved. We can all do that. But it requires us to have a heart that wants that. It requires us to have a heart whose affections are upon the Lord. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is your heart right with God? Do you count all things for Jesus but loss? Is your heart right with God? It can be. It can be. And when it is, we don't put those things off, do we? Can I help you to not put anything off this morning?